Alas, her prayers, well, for my friend, her mother died. She was 92, so her name is Carmen Bowers.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Are there others?
I have a joy this morning. My Uncle Jonathan will be celebrating his 100th birthday on Friday.
Oh, very good. Are there others? Yes, Pastor Bob.
Adele asked me to lift up her son, Eric. Son, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has had several tests for Lyme's disease, and there's some that have said he has Lyme's disease, some that say he's not. So he's going to a specialist this week who hopefully will be able to be more accurate in diagnosis. So let's remember Eric Stump in our prayers. Also, this week, John Hoover has been in the hospital this week. He was actually rushed to the hospital last Sunday morning, but he's home again. He had a pacemaker and is home again. And then Joyce Luckenbill was in Reading Hospital recovering from surgery, and she on, I think Thursday, was transferred back into that beautiful new Reading Rehabilitation Center there by Target. And so she's doing some better, but let's continue to pray for her in our prayers as well.
Okay. Let's stand and join together in our worship to the Lord. Will you please stand? Let us begin. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Turn your hymnals to hymn number 37.
Oh,
Join with me in our words of praise. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Who can fathom the greatness of our God? Hymn number 118.
If you have any breath left, please be seated. That's one that we should do during a full house Sunday because it's a hard one to sing. I refer to it affectionately as the Mennonite National Anthem. It's hard to go to a Mennonite congregation without hearing that from time to time. Well, I guess it's time to pray, isn't it? Let's come together in a moment of prayer. And was that Carmen? And is it Carmen who passed away, or Carmen is the granddaughter? Carmen passed away. Okay. Let's join together in a time of prayer. And as we pray together, let's continue to keep before us those young girls from Nigeria who are continuing to be displaced and away from their families. And if you're interested in praying by name, I think there's still some of those lists of names of the girls out there on the table in the narthex. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful that we can come together this morning and sing our praise to you. And we thank you for each breath that we take. We confess that we take each breath for granted, and yet where would we be without even one breath? And so thank you that you supply so generously all of our needs. You're such a generous and loving Father and God. And we thank you that we can come together and say thank you and cry, Abba, Father. Father, we adore you. We lay our lives before you. How we love you. Called to love you with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our might. And we confess to you that that's a high calling and one that we are often inadequate to fulfill, and yet we continue to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and seek to love you with all of our being. Thanks that we can come and lift up to you the family of Carmen Bowers in this loss. And we pray that you would continue to be with the family and continue to love them and give them the peace of Jesus that passes all understanding. We also celebrate with Sandy, her uncle, who will be 100 years old. And what a blessing it is to have experienced a life for such a long time. And we pray your blessing upon Uncle Jonathan. We also want to lift up to you Sarah and Donna Parcell as they go to South Sudan to do peace work. And we pray for traveling mercies upon them and pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them and pray that there wouldn't be one point along the way where they won't sense your presence with them. We also pray for Justin Gulbert, whose parents are going through a really violent divorce, and he has two brothers, and we can only guess what a traumatic experience this will be for the children, and we pray for them that you would surround them with your love and your affection, and we pray for healing in this broken relationship with the parents, and pray that you would surround this entire family with your love and your protection, and that they would come to know your grace in the midst of brokenness. Thanks for this day. As Gary reminded us, we've had a couple of extraordinary days, and we have every hope that there will be some extraordinary days in the future, not just beautiful days when the weather is great, but times when we can rejoice in you and we can come to a deeper level of understanding of your grace and your love and your mercy and your power. And so thank you for this day. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
As we move to a time of our morning offering, could help think, but think of the first phrase of the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All blessings, including our morning offering. Our morning offering is a blessing not only to us, but to the work of the church and to Him, our Father in heaven. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the opportunity to bring forth this blessing, to return this portion to you, to the work of the church, so that others might also be blessed. We just pray that we can thank you for this opportunity to bring these gifts to you. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We're going to continue our studies from the book of Romans this morning, and we're going to be looking at Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 30 through 36. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Pastor Bob.
The Apostle Paul was one whose life was punctuated with praise. It's interesting, if you read through Paul's letters, and of course, he is the greatest contributor, most prolific contributor to the New Testament. If you take out the letters of Paul, the New Testament is less than half its size. And Paul, if you read Paul, you find that he'll just be sort of going along trying to explain the deep things of God, and then there's just a kind of a punctuation mark of praise. And that's what this lesson is today. You know, he's talking about sin and disobedience and all of this, and then just suddenly he's just struck with the words of this doxology, words that are a little different from the doxology that we just sang a moment ago. But a doxology is a hymn of praise, and he just kind of pops it in there right in the middle of everything, because he tried to lead a life that was punctuated by praise. And I believe you and I are called to lead lives that are punctuated with praise. And the reason our lives too often are not punctuated in that way is because we often view praise and worship as being an emotional response to God. And let's face it, some Sunday mornings we come in here and we get the news of someone's death, or we're not feeling all that well ourselves, or we're struggling with friends who are going through a divorce or all sorts of things, and we're not really feeling a whole lot of praise. And rather than praise and worship being based on emotion, like Paul, it needs to be based on observation. Let me illustrate in this way. How many of you have been to the Niagara Falls? Yeah, most of you have. Same in the early service as well. Niagara Falls was known among First Nation people, the Iroquois, for centuries at least. The first white man to see the falls was a French explorer by the name of Samuel de Champlain. Lake Champlain was named after him, who in the early 1600s, 1603 or 1604, was the first European to set sight on the Niagara Falls. And there really wasn't any adequate explanation of this great cataract until a Belgian missionary by the name of Louis Hennepin came and spent some time there and spoke quite eloquently about in his description of the Niagara Falls. Well, Niagara Falls, you know, has become known as a honeymoon place. You know when that started? When the brother of Napoleon Bonaparte, his brother Jerome, decided to go there with his wife. And they were the first honeymooners to honeymoon at Niagara Falls. Now, that was way before any hotels were built there, and he had the resources to be able to get there safely and alive and return home to talk about it. It wasn't until about 100 years later that tourism became a major industry in that area. Well, sometime after Jerome and his wife visited, and it became a tourist area sometime later, these two young adventurers from Pennsylvania had heard stories about this great cataract, and they wanted to go and see it with their own eyes. They heard stories that were rather unbelievable, and they wanted to go and see it for themselves. And so they cut and chopped their way through the Pennsylvania forests and got into New York. And when they got within 4 or 5 miles of the Niagara Falls, they heard the roar of water. 6 million metric tons of water falling every minute. And it creates quite a sound. And as they followed the sound, they came upon a pioneer farmer, and they said to the farmer, "Is this the way to the Niagara Falls?" And he said, "Don't know. Never been there before." Now, how is it that someone that close to something as extraordinary as the Niagara Falls, who could every day hear the roar of all that water, would choose to never even go and check it out himself? Well, that's kind of the way we are, you know? We get so bound up in doing our day-to-day affairs that, I mean, let's face it, who wants to leave Whirl of Fortune to go and see the Niagara Falls, you know? And so we kind of get caught up in the mundane things of life and really don't think about the great things of our God. We were in Holland a few years ago, and we were in a city, the name of which I can't pronounce. It goes something like Uskoist. I went into a little grocery store there to buy some things, and there was a young woman at the cash register, and I said, and I was overwhelmed with the beauty of this place. It wasn't far from, where's that famous tulip place in the Netherlands? Holland, but that big garden with all of those tulips. What's it called? I've lost the name of it, but it's a, don't miss it if you go there and ask somebody else what it's called. And the tulips were in full bloom, and the flowers everywhere. It was in May, and it was extraordinary. And I said to the cashier, I said, "Wow, what a beautiful city this is." I was overwhelmed. And she looked up at me and kind of scratched her head like, what are you talking about? It's just my town, you know? And that is how it can be with the things of our God. We take them for granted. We get lost in the manyness and muchness of our own little worlds, that we don't open our eyes and our ears and our senses and take in the wonders of our God. What we need to do is follow the wisdom of a young woman named Mary, who wrote a song that begins, "My soul does what? Magnifies the Lord." And you know, when you take a magnifying glass, or if you want to even borrow my glasses, same difference, you know, and focus in on something, you make it large enough to see it. You can take a tiny little ant, and you don't make the ant bigger, but you increase your ability by magnifying it to see all of the intricacy of it. And that's what Mary was saying. We need to have that kind of relationship with God where we're not ignoring the great things of our God, but rather we're magnifying them, bringing them up close and personal so that we can see them, really appreciate them. And when we do that by observation, not by emotion, but through observation, through observing the great things of God, we are struck with a deep sense of praise and thanksgiving that we won't have if we just sort of go through life and don't notice that there are so many beautiful things all around us that our God has created. Well, I was reading this week the work of a Presbyterian pastor, can't remember his name, a young pastor, and he made this suggestion that if we want to really appreciate the things of God every day, we need to go through the ABCs and think about some attribute of God that goes with each of the letters of the ABCs. And he said, it is only as we practice this that we increase our observation skills so that we will go through life having lives, leading lives that are punctuated with praise. So I tried it, you know, and I didn't get too far into the ABCs until I realized that many of the scriptures that I know and love have certain things that match up with the letters of the alphabet. So I want to play a game with you today. I'll give you the first one. We begin with first letter of the alphabet. Good. Last letter of the alphabet? Middle letter of the alphabet? Didn't think so. There isn't one, is there? 13 on each side. Yeah. Actually, in the early service, I left out 5 letters of the alphabet. And my explanation was I went to a one-room school, and we did things cheaper back then and couldn't have the full alphabet. A. Paul wrote in Jude what is known as the St. Jude's benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. B. The Lord bless you and keep you. C, we find in the shepherd's song, his rod and his staff shall comfort you. D, anybody have a verse with a D? The one that I thought of was from Revelation. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He shall be their God, and you shall be his people, and he shall wipe away every tear from your eyes. Now, here's where in the early service, I went directly to K, and then I backtracked. E, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, it just doesn't stop. God's love isn't conditional. It's not. God doesn't love us more when, just like we don't love our children more when they do something nice. We love our children without condition. And, well, most of the time. We had 8 of our grandchildren with us this weekend, so our love was deeply tested. In fact, I don't even know, is Carol here? Did anybody see my wife? Oh, no. The unimaginable has happened. Where were we? D. E. We're on E. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. F is one of our favorite hymns. Great is thy faithfulness. Of all places, anybody know where that's found in Scripture? Book of Lamentations. Isn't that crazy? One of those great phrases of praise is in the book of Lamentations. So even in our lament, there can be praise. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Taste and see that the Lord is good. G, H. Isaiah is in the temple. It was, I forget which year of King Uzziah, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of the Lord filled the temple, and I don't know if it was a Lionel train or what kind it was, but it filled the temple, and the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I. The word is imagine. And another one of Paul's zingers that he threw into the midst of his writing is one of my favorite doxologies. And it's really cool. Benediction. Paul sometimes put more than one benediction because he'd come to what he thought was the end of his letter, and he'd have the benediction, and then he'd remember there's some other things, kind of like I do with sermons sometimes, And this benediction is in chapter 3 of Ephesians, where Paul says, God is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or can even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, I, J. Okay, here's an easy one. J. Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. J. K. Jesus said, "I will give you something." He was with his disciples. They had some R&R away, and he asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And upon this rock I will build my church. I tell you, you are Peter," etc., etc. And he said, "And I will give you the keys." Who said it? I will give you the keys to what? The car. Yeah. No. The keys to the kingdom. And what will those keys enable us to do? Both unlock and lock things. That whatever, with these keys, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you lock on earth will be unlocked, will be locked in heaven. And whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. K-L. Love. The one I first thought of is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I know that one simply because it's a great... Have you ever done that solo? "The Lord is my light and my salvation." You've done it, Alan, haven't you? Oh, in choir, okay. Well, you've done it. L, M. Psalm 8, beginning phrase of Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name." Yeah. M-N. God makes all things new. I thought of that. The one that I finally came up with that I really like for my ABCs today is where Paul writes to those in Philippi, "My God will supply all your needs." How? "According to his riches in glory in Christ." He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so God doesn't run out of resources to supply our needs. K-L-M-N-O. Another one from the Shepherd's Song. "Not only does his rod and staff comfort us, but our cup runs over." Yeah, and that's the kind of God that we have. You know, never, I tell you something, this may disappoint you or shock you. God was not Pennsylvania Dutch. Okay. God never puts the cup half full. With God, the cup is always running over. P. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. They're kind of worried because he said he's going to leave them. And he says to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Neither let your hearts be troubled nor afraid." O-P-Q. This was a tough one when I was thinking about it, because there are not a lot of Q words in the Bible. And the one that I came up with needs some explanation. Israel is now in the decline. And in order to kind of help themselves, they've turned away from God. And they, like us, they don't see that it's because they've turned away from God that their lives are collapsing, that their world is crumbling around them. And even though their prophet's saying, all you need to do is return to God, they go out and they form political alliances with the Egyptians and the Assyrians and all these others to try to save their bacon. And God says, I want you to tell my people this, says this to Isaiah. He says, it's not in these political alliances that you're going to be saved, but it is in returning and rest, returning to me and resting in me, that you will be saved. And in, here's the Q word, in quietness and trust, that you will be strengthened. QT comes after that? Oh, no, R, yeah. See what I mean? Western PA, One Scrim Schoolhouse, yeah. In Daisy Town, does that tell you anything? Who can quote Psalm 46, the first verse? No? It's an R. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. R-S. Anybody have an S for us? Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way within me, and lead me in thy way everlasting. I left out a couple of sentences there. R-S-T. Now we're a T? Thanks. This is an easy one. Trust. That Proverb 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your strength, and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. We spend a lot of time, don't we, sort of, on those roads that I used to drive in on every day and up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. We have relatives who never came to visit us because they were afraid of the, you know, of the driving there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. T-U. There's a psalm, I can't quote it quite exactly, but it's it begins, great is the Lord. It says also another adjective about God's power. And then it says, his understanding is without measure. And that's really what Paul is saying in this doxology, that the things of God are so deep, they are beyond our comprehension. And that's what the psalmist is saying in that psalm. T-U-V. What's that song we love to sing? There's victory in Jesus. Now that's a song, that's not a scripture, but I think it comes from scriptures like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I think, death, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. T-U-V-W. Anybody have a W? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary and walk and not grow faint. T-U-V-W-X. There are no words that begin with X. But Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt him together." Got to cheat a little bit on that one. X, Y. Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus is the same. And, you know, that's one that, you know, you and I learned in Sunday school or Vacation Bible School. But what a powerful text that is. You know, we read the scriptures about this incredible figure in history, Jesus of Nazareth, and the incredible things that Jesus did. And yet we're told, I think that's Hebrews, that Jesus, this Jesus that we read about in Scripture, is the same today as he was yesterday. And it's that Jesus who said he will be with us when we gather, even two or three of us, in his name. T-U-V-W-X-Y, and that brings us to Z. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And the this that Isaiah is saying that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish begins with a passage that we all know, many of us, by heart. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, upon them shall light shine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And then there's something else that it says there. And then finally, the conclusion, that whole passage. I mean, how does all of that happen? That people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there. How does that happen? And the clincher is, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, how many of you, most of you went to see the Niagara Falls. How many of you stood right there where the water goes down over the edge? No? On the Canadian side there by Vera, you wouldn't go there? You were afraid to go there? If you stood there, right where that 6 million metric tons of water is falling over, does it take your breath away? You just can't stand there and look at that and say, I wish I was back in my motel room watching Jeopardy. And I confess, Jeopardy is one of my favorites. But there's something that overtakes us. There's something about observing that power that triggers emotions within us. And that's the way praise and worship should be. It's not our emotions that trigger it. It's our willingness to observe the greatness of our God. And when we see how great our God, when we hear the thunder of God's voice, the heavens are telling the glory of God. When we see the power of God and hear the thunder of God's voice and experience the power of God's love, we can't help but lead lives that are punctuated with praise. Let's pray. God, we thank you this day that we serve a mighty God. Our God reigns. And we ask your forgiveness because there are so many times when we get lost in the challenges that we're facing and far more trivial stuff, and we just don't take time to magnify the Lord and name the things that are extraordinary. Thank you for your greatness. Help us to be willing to taste and see that our God is good. Be with us as we go from this place. We pray that it will be by your strength and your energy and your grace that we will overcome the challenges that are before us, and that in the midst of even times of lamentation, we can sing and say, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father." Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn. I want to share the words of Paul's doxology one more time as a benediction for us as we leave. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who is ever given to God, that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Now I want to read the way that translates in the Message. Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from God. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory. Always glory. Yes, yes, yes. To God be the glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, Amen.